Blockbus.net podcast network. Hey, it's the after party, the finale of season one of Rooster Teeth's day five. What the hell is this thing called? Wide awake.
Yeah.
Wide awake. Well, unlike me, apparently.
A number of people are actually wide awake in this episode. They get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I mean, like, not night sleep.
No.
Like, 15 minutes.
Sure.
Because they got the black goo from the X-Files.
Yeah, we don't really explain that. It's just some type of, like, miracle, not really like a miracle cure, but like, oh, this thing will put you under for a number of minutes, but then you have horrific nightmares. Yes. You remember your past.
And, as we saw in the last episode. Yeah.
Where, and here's some Rooster Teeth people that you know and love. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so this one is like, okay, so that worked.
Yeah.
But what now? Mm-hmm. And, of course, the problem is, as we speculated last episode, Professor X, you know, the mad doctor, is indeed kind of crazy. But at the same time, I don't completely disagree with him either.
No.
I mean, maybe if he hadn't been experimenting on lots of kids, we would have been a little more like,
People care about all the goddamn kids. I don't give a shit about the kids. Here's the thing.
Kids are evil.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Evil in question, played by Shannon McCormick, who does an excellent job. Like,
he's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people, you might recognize him. He's been he does a ton of voice work for Rooster Teeth, and he's been a lot of their live action shorts. But he's also, he played the, I think I said this last episode, he played the junkie that Walter White confronts in the season two of Breaking Bad.
Well, I'm team Dr. Evil.
Yeah, same. Like, here's the thing. He is the villain for this show that I've been looking for, where it's like we've kind of had all these kind of isolated threats where, like, episode two, we had all these crazy rave people. Episode three, we had, like, zombie kind of character guy.
Yeah.
Like, this, he's definitely, like, he's the villain, but you kind of agree with what he's doing throughout all of these episodes, even though he... basically killing a lot of people.
I mean, he has a solid point. He really does. And, like, how many other people are really out there who've gotten as close as he has? Where it's like, look, it's a race against time. Are we really going to, like, go... Well, we can't murder people. It's well, at this point, we kind of have to if the rest of us are going to survive.
Well, what's his thing? Where it's like, I didn't murder anybody, but I may have, you know, been a player in their death.
Yeah, it's lying by omission.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what he needs? He just needs that brouhaha from episode three.
Yeah.
And then the people will be wide awake. That's the thing. I bet we learned that whatever that brouhaha created in episode three will be the key, like,
something in there.
Sequence to like, oh, now I can stay awake forever.
Well, we did see that, like, Jake and Sam and Allie are on their way back to visit them.
Yeah, well, we learn in this episode what happened to those people that went to the hospital.
Yes,
potentially seeking, like, drugs to keep them awake.
Yeah, Sam's never going to get laid is the upshot of that.
Yeah, that's poor Sam. I mean, what, he's like 12 years old, so I mean, he doesn't...
You know, but yeah, for how much longer?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. He's never going to get laid.
I mean, has he hit puberty, you think? I guess he has.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
hit. I'll ask the actor next time I see him, hey, did you hit puberty?
Drop him.
Yeah.
See, you got pubes?
Cough. Okay, there you
see
go.
Your balls drop?
I'd probably get arrested by that.
That's almost certainly.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't think Walter Satterwhite, who's been doing, by the way, a much better job, I think,
as it goes on, man.
On
yeah, I mean,
I don't think he'd be too happy about
it. No, he wouldn't. But here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, you bring that up. Like, all the actors seem much more comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
With each other.
It definitely felt like there was a bit of a chemistry curve. With working into this, and now that it's gotten six episodes in, we're kind of like, oh, okay, they're clearly a lot more comfortable
with
each other, and being, maybe in Sam's case in particular, being in front of camera in general.
Yeah.
You know, I think in general the acting is quality has increased significantly.
Yeah, most of that, like, initial awkwardness is definitely gone.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Although, I mean, there were those who I thought were great right from the start. Like, Jesse C. Boyd, I thought, has definitely been one of the standouts of the show. He's just been very good right from the get-go.
The most responsible drug addict ever. Probably ever in, like, just cinema or television history.
Well,
or, like, his web history.
In the world he's from, he was an anomaly.
Yes.
But in this world... he is king. Where is everyone is a speed addict.
True. I guess that is true. So, he can handle it the best, I guess.
Yeah, he doesn't...
injecting all that stuff into himself.
I mean, he was the first to start hallucinating, to be fair. But
true. Yeah. No, he didn't hallucinate in this episode.
He did not.
Mm-hmm.
Although Ellis certainly did.
Yes,
although
he did.
That was weird, wasn't it?
It was weird, but I thought it was a lot of fun because it wasn't a... much like in, I guess this was the first hallucination where I didn't even realize it was a hallucination.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, because it felt so natural. Weird about it.
Yeah. Well, except that the dumb guy was smart.
The dumb guy, well, it's like, because sometimes you have like that one, you know, dumb character in a film or a television show who knows one thing particularly very well. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I can, oh, sure, I can go along with this. Like this, he loves space. So of course he knows about how the satellites are circling above us, and that's clearly, that has something to do with why this death plague is affecting everybody. So I bought into it.
I mean, it could be, assuming their initial theory about the television signal was correct.
Yes.
You know, honestly, I just don't know much about that sort of stuff myself from a science point of view. So sure, sounds reasonable that could be the case.
Yeah.
But how does that tie into, like, Ellis, who clearly did not, in fact, go to sleep, as we see, and leaving the map with a big circle on it like that felt like that was connected in some way.
Yeah, I mean, his whole storyline has been trying to find the source of where this whole plague, like, it spread out.
Yeah.
And I guess it's on that map is where I can get a chance to look at exactly where the location is on that map, but I guess that might be the actual point at which this thing occurred.
How would we know?
Yeah, but the big shock of this episode is that the sniper, Meredith, played by Katie Folger, who does a fantastic job, by the way.
Yeah.
She got a full night's sleep, and she seems A-okay.
She was clearly some sort of plant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, was her whole initial story of what she was doing up there sniping was a lie.
Yep.
And she was sticking along with them, mainly just because she didn't really have much choice to play it through until she got a good chance to get away.
Mm-hmm. And part of me is, like, glad that she's still alive, because I think that actress does a great job. Yeah. I want to learn more about her character, because she seems very much like, to me, what I think people wanted Michonne to be on The Walking Dead, where she's this badass. But my problem with Michonne forever has been, like, she's just silent, and she just has this really kind of smug, sneering face, and that's all she really does. With Meredith,
I love Michonne.
I know you do. Look, I read the comics, and I think she's a good character, but I think some people tend to, I think she's a little overrated to a certain extent. With Meredith, I like that she kind of has this really sarcastic personality, but even though she's clearly set up as a villain now, she has a personality.
Yeah, or, you know, if maybe not the villain, then works for the villain.
Sure,
whoever
that
is, and we don't have the
faintest
idea.
She's the henchwoman.
So, but, you know, what's weird about all that? Okay, so the little lead-in we saw in the very beginning with RPG guy and, like, gaming guy.
Yeah.
And his buddies and, the Bran from Game of Thrones showing up there on the table.
Yeah, the three-eyed raven shows up for some reason.
Well, it was a raven anyway. I was like, okay, well, that was weird. Was that a dream or a hallucination? Because it felt very not real, that moment, as did the same raven showing up, you know, towards the end, at the very end there. I was like, so what the fuck, man? Like, is there supernatural level to all this?
That would be really cool. But, I mean, D&D guy does say that he tracks a bird to the location that they're at, which they're in Dallas, correct?
Yes.
They're in Dallas. So even though part of the episode takes place in a famous hotel in Austin, which I thought was really cool.
Yep, the Driscoll.
Very lovely hotel.
Yeah, I was actually thinking when Ellis is sitting there, he's like, I can't tell what's real and what's not anymore. I was like, well, then the Driscoll is decidedly not the hotel you want to be in, considering it's supposedly one of the most haunted places in Texas.
Yeah. I didn't know it was haunted.
Yeah, that's like Stephen King 1408 right there, man.
Holy shit,
like,
I had no idea. I just thought...
Well, it's all bullshit, I'm sure.
Oh,
but,
is it?
Yeah, but all the biggest stories all come from the Driscoll. It's like eight ghosts or something, supposedly, in that place. There's actually one room that supposedly cleaning people just won't go into. They're like, nope.
Holy shit. Wow. That's crazy. I gotta research that stuff. But I mean we find out, well, from D&D guy, which I hate the fact that we can't remember his name. I'm so sorry to the actor or your D&D guy.
We'll call him Arpeg.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I mean he follows his raven to Dallas.
Yeah,
it's a raven, right? Yeah, raven. Yeah. And then we find out that, oh no, the raven is actually real. And that apparently it's friends with Meredith, or it's very confusing,
like I said, because the whole thing has that air of unreality about it, but there's nothing about that ending other than that makes me think that that wasn't real. Mm-hmm. Well, otherwise, what would be the point of even showing it?
Sure.
You know, very confusing.
As someone who's, like, watched Rooster Teeth's content for years, like, they primarily focused, like, a lot of their stuff is, like, sci-fi based.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, Red vs. Blue is basically
so you wouldn't
Halo
be
universe.
Surprised to see if there's a deeper level that is startling.
I wouldn't be surprised by that, or if they actually are delving into supernatural stuff, which I would be shocked if this is like, oh, this is all supernatural. It's like, holy crap.
Maybe it's
a
robot.
Cool.
Maybe it's a robot bird.
Well, that'd be awesome. I like robot birds.
I kind of prefer the supernatural bird, though. Yeah. That's just me. I want it to be like they came from Silent Hill.
This is like the most weird tie-in with Game of Thrones ever.
Yeah, it would
be. That'd be cool. It's like, oh, White Walker show up in season two. But I guess my biggest problem with this episode specifically is that it's pretty much just setting up the next season, where it's not like what we guess would this be a contained series. It just is like, Richard, you know, this is the story. This is all you get. It's like there's still so many unanswered questions, which to a certain extent I find kind of frustrating. I'm glad we're getting a season two because I like a lot of these characters. But at the same time, I can't be like, maybe this would have been better. It's just one season.
Well, I was honestly surprised with the way they were initially talking about this when we met them all at the premiere.
Yeah.
That this didn't have the feeling of something that would have been a satisfactory ending,
mm-hmm.
but could go on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have that feel at all.
No.
It's like, no, this is a cliffhanger.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
On multiple levels. So, I guess they're just super confident about it. And
apparently,
like I said, what little teases they're giving us of what the future is to hold, which is very little, mm-hmm. mind you, is a little confusing, a lot exasperating, but titillating.
It is, yeah.
You know?
I mean, again, this is the concept of that you fall asleep and you die. That is so original compared to so many, as we said repeatedly in all of our reviews.
Well, except for when Freddy Krueger kills you in your dream.
Well, I mean, but that's like, you know, dream whatever stuff.
Just saying it.
He doesn't instantly kill you when you fall asleep.
Based on a true story.
He likes
story.
To play with you a little bit.
Actually based on a true story.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was this guy who, like, was convinced that something was going to kill. If you look it up, Craven based a thing on some dude from China or something who was, like, totally believed in a scenario a lot like that.
And Wes Craven went, oh, shit, I'm going to make him a lot of money on that guy.
And
so,
he went on to do exactly that.
Well, to a certain extent. He actually only made money because, I mean, from the first Nightmare and then 3. And then he really didn't earn anything until New Nightmare, honestly.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? You learn something new every day.
There you go.
I was kind of surprised at the whole, like, big black guy who's going to go and storm the castle. Didn't turn into more than it did. It was kind of almost a distraction so our main characters could get away.
Yeah, exactly. It said get away.
It was
so
more of a
can...
plot device than anything.
Yeah,
else.
I mean, I was kind of disappointed by that because I thought they were setting up to be a more interesting antagonist.
Yeah.
But he has the most, like, villainous name ever, Slade.
Slade.
Which I'm like, I wonder if, like, the writers were looking at, like, DC Comics and thought, oh, Slade Wilson, that's Deathstroke. That's a perfect villain name.
It is a pretty good
villain. It is. But I was kind of, even though I thought the actor gave a good performance, I was kind of sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Killed by Dr.
Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil, yeah. Shane McCormick. Yeah. But I thought that was a great moment between the two of them. Where...
I'm really glad they let Dr. Evil live. First off, once again, Team Dr. Evil.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But two, like, he will be a character I think would be good to have come back again.
Oh, I think he will. Yeah. I mean, he's to me, I think he's being set up as the primary antagonist. Or at least... one of the primary antagonists.
Though I feel like it's a missed opportunity, that scene where they're pulling away from Allie's girlfriend, and she's kind of there, and they decide not to kill her, although I was like, man, kill that bitch. Like, they should have had, like, a satellite crash into her or something.
You said that. That would have been pretty funny.
Something like the whole building topples over and falls on her just out of nowhere. Like, what the fuck? Why did that happen? You know what? At this point, I'm just not going to ask too many questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously she'll be back in the next season, and...
or at some point.
Yeah, Lex and Allie's relationship will continue to get more complicated.
assuming they have any sort of relationship at all at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And however desperate they might get, they might be like, we found a new vaccine, but it only works if you take brain juice from lesbians.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Just throwing it out there.
That's very specific.
Yeah, I admit, it's an intellectual dichotomy. But
yeah, true.
That, like, get it, dichotomy.
I get
I'm sorry.
It. I get
was
it.
Terrible.
Yes. All right.
Very punny.
Oh my
stressing.
God.
I'm a terrible human being. I've long since made my peace with this. But overall, I think this was okay. I didn't feel like this was as strong as the previous three episodes.
No, to me, the highlight of this entire series so far is probably episode 3 and last episode, the penultimate episode, which I love to say penultimate.
Yeah.
It's so good. But yeah, I mean, when you have Joe Estevez, who is Martin Sheen's brother, playing Alonzo, the crazy reporter, and of course the introduction to
is literally not just saying.
No,
like,
he is Martin Sheen's
brother.
He's
it's
Martin
not like
Sheen's
we say Matt Damon, you know, with Jesse Plemons.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
He is
they share the same DNA. But yeah, and then of course introduction to Shane McCormick's Dr. Evil. I mean, I guess this episode was just very slow paced to me. It really didn't pick up towards
till the last like 10 minutes or
so. Yeah, pretty much 10-15 minutes,
and
which I thought were fun.
It was. You know, I really felt like it was building towards a cliffhanger moment where they're all just starting to fall asleep in the hotel room.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then you see them driving up and you can see the hotel right mm-hmm. there. Like, oh, will they make it in time? Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the two, like, new cast members, just they're dead.
Yeah. Like, the people we can't remember the names of.
Yeah. They're like, they might as well be wearing red Federation shirts.
I think one of them might have been wearing a red shirt. I want to say. I think they did. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that Davy J, who plays Alice, is clearly going to be in next season because he's still my favorite character.
Yeah, I have no idea.
He is so goddamn charismatic.
I have no idea how he got the wherewithal with as bad shape as he was in to actually get up and go somewhere at that mm-hmm. point. You're like, damn, dude. You were, like, worse off than anybody.
Maybe he's just hallucinating still. He's wandered off.
Just tripping out. I think I'm asleep. I'm not sure.
He's haunting the Driscoll. That'll be the next episode.
Or maybe he sleepwalks, and that's what keeps him from, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know. Yeah, wouldn't it be weird if sleepwalkers actually can sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't fully go to sleep.
That would be cool. That'd be something to explore in the next out there. Season 2.
Or if Freddy Krueger is real.
I mean... Have they done a Freddy Krueger joke in this series?
They have not.
They have to.
Not that I'm aware of it. At no point anyone has referenced Nightmare.
I wonder if they have... I mean, one of their writers, they have to do, like, a Freddy Krueger joke.
You would think it would have happened by now.
Or they have Robert Englund guest star in this
series. Oh, now, see, that's genius. And plus, we already know Robert Englund will show up. He can smell a check. He's like... What's that?
Was he in, like, Sharktopus 3 or something?
There's a small independent film project that needs me.
I think it'd be a Rooster Teeth. Talk to Robert Englund. I think he'd be all in it.
Yeah, or, again, I'm blanking her name, the woman who played Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street 1.
Oh, God.
3
she's great.
Last
actually.
One. Yeah, yeah, no, I actually really like her. She'd be, I guarantee you could get her for cheap.
Hello, Nancy. Yeah, perfect.
All right, well, we'll be back whenever this show is back.
Well, hopefully, I mean, the next series that I think we're going to be able to review is Crunch Time. That's Rooster Teeth's next new kind of big comedy. I mean, it's more of a comedy, like, comedic take on Inception. So I'm
really?
Yeah. I went to the premiere when we saw day 5, episode 3. Yeah, Crunch Time, it's just basically where it's these guys are able to kind of influence a person's dreams. And it's more of like a super comedic take. And I think it stars, like some of the cast members from like Freaks and Geeks and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it looks pretty good. So hopefully, and that's coming out in September. So
it's making me hungry for candy bars.
Yes.
Nestle's Crunch.
Mm.
Nom.
Nom, 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 nom. Bye-bye.